In our famous gospel reading tonight from the Beatitudes, I can't help but notice how each of them keeps us pointed forward. Notice in each Beatitude, it's always referring to the present state, but then saying, you will receive this, or you will that. Blessed are they who mourn now, for you will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the land. And even blessed are you who are insulted and persecuted. Rejoice and be glad, your reward will be great in heaven. This gospel, this celebration today, is ultimately about pointing us forward towards heaven. The saints are our beautiful examples of those that we know are in heaven. That's the ultimate definition of what it means to be a saint. The word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy, set apart. And this title is rightfully applied to all those who are in heaven. Many who are canonized and held up as models for the whole church, and a countless host of witnesses that are unknown to us, our brothers and sisters all in heaven. They have reached the end of their race. They share now in the promises that are given in the Beatitudes. And so we see today in the saints this great kind of foreshadowing. Where they have gone, we hope to go there. That's where we're headed. And it's very true that if we don't know where we're going, we won't be able to get there. And so we rightfully look at the saints with inspiration. We know they made it. And if they made it, maybe we can make it too. But you know, I think it would be a mistake if we were to somehow just look at the saints and say, gosh, aren't they great? Look at them. They're so wonderful. And if we were to then miss the call in our own lives. Because in the end, we celebrate this feast not to help the saints. The saints are in heaven. We can't possibly add to their joy. They behold God face to face. So although we honor them today, to some extent, they don't need our honor. But we who still run our race, who still live in the midst of those who mourn, those who are persecuted, those who need mercy, who need peace, who desire that, we who live in the midst of this world still very much need the prayers of our brothers and sisters, both in this world and those in the next. You know, that's the great beauty of this feast, really, I think. It's about family. We pray every time we say the creed that we believe in the communion of the saints. That communion is real. And I love this day because it becomes so tangible that we know we are one with our brothers and sisters in heaven on this day. And they, in a mysterious way, are one with us as we gather together in communion around the table of the Eucharist. The saints urge us on to victory. You know, I have to admit that I lost my voice a little bit because I was at the Chiefs game last night. And I was going crazy, screaming like a little girl, just yelling. And I was doing it, doing my little tomahawk chop. And it was amazing. Some wonderful parishioners gave me some tickets. And it kind of hit me. I rarely ever get to go to Arrowhead Stadium. I can count probably on one hand the times I've actually been there in my life. But I watch on TV. And I'll, like some of you, admit it, you were yelling at your TV last night, throwing things maybe. And I always think that's so crazy afterwards. I'm like, they can't hear me. I can't do anything about this. I'm just a spectator. There's nothing I can do to influence this game from my living room. But something kind of hit me last night. And dare I bring a secular example into this sacred feast. But as I was sitting there in Arrowhead Stadium, and the crowd just starts to go wild, as it does on third down. And you love it when that other team gets their false start penalty because they can't hear because they're just so flustered with all the noise. It hit me that although I don't play for the team, I'm not going to get anything if they win, and I don't really lose anything if they lose. There I am, and I realized that in the stadium, gosh, I could actually influence that game a little bit. With 80,000 of us going crazy, yeah, you could say without a doubt, that penalty is because of the fans. You know, Todd Haley was on the radio tonight saying, yeah, the fans were amazing. They really helped us. And it hit me the difference between just watching the game on TV, where you can't change anything or even help anybody. Chiefs don't even know you're yelling for them, versus those ones that are actually in the stadium. I could actually influence this game. It kind of hit me. I got to think that's a little bit of the joy of the saints. They're not just these spectators up in heaven that look down on us or don't even care. They're like the ones in the stadium that, although they've won their race, there's nothing for them to lose, and they really don't gain any more than they've got with our success. Yet it's as though we are the players on the field and the saints surround us, cheering us on to victory, and they very much want to influence our lives. You see, the saints are not distant people who have no effect on us. They're real. They're our brothers and sisters that, just as people are joined to us in this life, we are in communion with them in heaven. They want so much to see us succeed. And I think one of the beauties of the saints is that none of them are alike. You know, they're all alike and they're in heaven. But, you know, as one person once said, what do all the saints have in common? Well, they're all dead. They're not here. What we all have in common is we are still on the road, and we need those examples. And no two of them are alike. And I think that's beautiful because it points to the truth that no two paths to holiness are the same. We know that heaven is our goal, but each of us is called to our own unique route to that goal. We look at the saints, and we've got saints that were priests, saints that were popes. We've also got saints that were children, saints that were mothers, saints that were fathers, saints that lived their whole life like Saint Anthony in the desert, lived a hermit, barely came in contact with people, lived isolated. We have beautiful examples of love like Saint Therese, the little flower, who wanted to be a missionary and then a martyr and ended up spending her whole life inside her Carmel and her convent, and yet becomes the patron saint of missionaries through her prayer. We have those obscure saints that we don't know anything about. We have those incredible saints that seem to touch the whole world. We think of a couple blesseds in recent memory. Blessed Mother Teresa, Blessed John Paul II. These are people that touched millions. There's this whole spectrum of holiness. John Paul II canonized more saints in his time as Pope than the entire history of the Church put together, and this largely came from his strong belief in the Second Vatican Council's call to the universal call of holiness. Every one of us is called to be a saint. Now, we might not end up being canonized, but we want to end up in heaven. And if we're going to do that, what better way than to look at the examples that we have in the saints? Saint John of Beretta was a wife and a mother. Maybe we can look at her and relate. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I can do what she did. Maybe we're a husband and a father. Maybe we're consecrated. Maybe we're a priest. There's an example for us. But even as we see these examples, we've got to know that our call is unique. Yes, we hold up the saints. We know they pray for us. But we also know that we're called to be saints, each in our own unique way. Who knows who will know about us? I would suggest that probably the most important people that will hopefully one day consider you a saint will be your own children. The greatest gift that husband and wife can give to their children is first given them in baptism, and is brought to completion when we're all in heaven together. And that road in between is where parents have that beautiful call to instill holiness in their children. You know, all children want heroes. I pray that all of you will be heroes for your children, but also to give them other heroes in the family, namely the saints. Today our kids look up to the chiefs. They look up to athletes and musicians. Share with them the great stories of the saints. Be inspired by their lives. You know, there's a great tradition in our church of giving our children names of saints so that they would have these special friends, these special patrons built right into the even beginning of their lives. If you go over to my office in the rectory, I've got St. John the Baptist. He's my principal patron, since Sean is Irish for John. That makes me SeanTheBaptist.org. And John the Baptist is my patron. And Philip the Apostle is my middle name, and so he's my patron too. And St. Stephen was my confirmation name. And I've got their pictures on my wall. We would all put pictures of our family around our wall so we can remember our loved ones. I've got that. But if you also come over to my office, you'll see pictures of John the Baptist, St. Philip, and St. Stephen on my wall. And I can honestly tell you they are my friends. As surely as anybody in this life is my friend, they are my friends. There's a very beautiful moment in the ordination of a priest in which the Litany of the Saints is chanted. It's the same thing we do at baptism, but in the Litany of the Saints at ordination, the priest lies on the floor. And I remember very vividly during my ordination, I was thinking as each name was chanted, St. John the Baptist, pray for us. And I remember thinking, with each name, I know these people. I've learned about their lives. They're real. They're not just names on a page. They're my friends. And I felt very much their presence to help me as I began my ministry as a priesthood. We all need those kind of friends. There's no better friend than a friend that knows the way through the darkness. Those are our friends in the saints. So as we gather tonight, we know that no saint becomes a saint by accident. Each of them made a concrete choice to will to be a saint, to choose God every day. We know we need help to do that. And so as we come together as God's family tonight, we both rejoice at our brothers and sisters who are at home in glory, but we also beg their prayers that we who compete in the arena, who still make our way, might one day arrive in heaven with them. For that beautiful day of glory will indeed be the greatest family reunion we could ever hope to have.